broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning, Tuesday, July the 12th, 2022. 15 minutes past the hour, 76 degrees and mostly sunny skies here in Marion. Hope you're having a great day wherever you are. Do want to remind people that later today on WWGH Radio, we have the Adam the Computer Guy show from 2:15 until 3 p.m. today. And Voice of the People with Linda Sims will air 4:15 until 5 later today. So don't miss those programs here on this station. We're going to kick off this morning with a very interesting conversation. Over at the Marion Palace Theater this past weekend, the Will Rogers Follies opened up. And if you were on social media or any other kind of media for that matter, you probably saw pictures and videos and reviews that people were writing of this show, and apparently it's quite a great show, and there will be performances this upcoming weekend, Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m., Sunday at 2 p.m. The Palace box office number is 740-383-2101, and to talk a little bit about this morning in our opening hour is the executive director of the Marion Palace Theater, Kirk Detweiler. Kirk, how are you?
Good, Scott. How you doing?
Doing very good. Now, I did not get a chance to make it over last weekend, but I looked at Facebook yesterday and Sunday, and boy, people were terribly impressed with this show.
Yeah, it is. It's quite an amazing show, and I think one of the most amazing things is, and what makes it probably a cut above most community theaters in the country, is that our choreographer, Christy Wink, was actually in the original Broadway production of this show, and she 100% recreated the original Broadway choreography. And some of the people on stage, you know, they've been dancing since they were 3 years old, you know, from local dance studios. A few of them, this is their first opportunity to dance, but she worked them, and then she worked them again, and they really do a fantastic job. So I think the choreography is Broadway caliber. Tommy Toon originated it on Broadway. The other thing is the costumes we rented for it were the actual costumes used on the national tour. So you're seeing all the elements of the actual Broadway show on the Palace stage.
Now, for people who don't understand, this is a Marion, Ohio production with local people, correct?
Absolutely, 100%.
Now, how many people are in the show?
There are 45.
45.
Yep.
What is the ticket price?
The ticket price is $28.31. Even though the patron party has already taken place, you can buy a patron ticket, and that's $50. But that's basically just a little additional donation to the Palace Theater. Children 12 and under are $12. So it's 12 for kids, 12 and under, then 28 and 31.
And about what is the run time of the show?
It ends up running about less than 3 hours, about 245 minutes. Let me tell you, though, it doesn't feel like that, especially the second act is only like 40 minutes long. So it's over before you know, and it really doesn't feel like two hours and 45 minutes. It's very fast-paced show, I don't know if people are familiar. A lot of people don't even know who Will Rogers was, but in the 20s and 30s, he was the most famous person in the world. He was a social commentator, he was a vaudeville star, he was a Ziegfeld Follies star, and he was the highest paid movie actor in America at the time of his death in 1935. So I think everybody who knew who he was, you know, have all passed on. But it's still a great show. It's a great history lesson. But he was a star of the Ziegfeld Follies for many years, and so the show is set up like a Ziegfeld Follies, with all the showgirls and all the fancy feathers and boas, and it's just a beautiful, very entertaining show.
How did it come about that this would be chosen as the summer musical?
Well, it's funny because it was not our first choice. Very strangely, we figured we could get any show that we wanted because of COVID. You know, for a year and a half, you know, theaters were shut down. All the national tours were shut down. And usually we go through these theatrical agencies to get the rights to do the show. We have to estimate, like, what our ticket price is, how many people are going to attend, and then pay the royalties up front. The show that we wanted to do was unavailable, and we were amazed. And the second show we wanted to do was unavailable, and we're like, okay. Christy and Claire both wanted to do the Will Rogers Follies eventually, but it just moved up in the progression because the first couple of shows that we originally wanted to do were unavailable. And it's amazing because we were going to do a show that had very few sets, very few costumes, and then we went to one that was the total other direction. Our costume budget is like probably the reason the ticket prices are a little bit higher this year than they were last, other than inflation. But it's because we have to pay for the costumes. But it's worth it. It's a visual delight, is all I can say.
Putting a show together like this, what is the process once you decide you're going to do it, with auditions and set building and getting the costumes and the rehearsals? Kind of take us through that process for local theater.
Okay, well, I took over beginning of November here from Beth Ford, who retired. She actually didn't retire. She got a job at the Tourist Bureau, but she retired from the Palace. My first thing that I needed to do was set up the schedule for the 2022-23 season. Of course, the summer musical is always the first show that kicks off the season. So I think within the first couple of weeks that I was here, I called Claire Cook, our veteran director, into the office, and I said, okay, let's figure out what show. So, you know, it took us a couple weeks to decide what show. She set the date. We just have to do it around before Memorial Day. We go into rehearsal, like, right after Memorial Day. So she set the rehearsal. There were things going on in the palace. We actually had the auditions a couple weeks earlier than we normally do because of some things going on at the palace that were previously scheduled. But Claire starts the day that the show closes. She will start thinking about next summer. Not only that, she's got to do the Christmas at the Palace show. We start rehearsals right after Memorial Day. It's pretty much 4 days a week for 6 weeks, and then the last week we work every day. We do, you know, we add the elements of costumes and lights and sound, all the technical aspects, just going the very, very last week. So, and then, boom, we open.
What was it like on Saturday night, opening night?
It was amazing. I was kind of disappointed with the number of people that showed up because we kind of budgeted for 500 people per performance, and we had only about 300 people come to the opening night. And I think that's basically because people don't know the show, and we always say, you know, the word of mouth is the best advertising. The first weekend will sell the second weekend. Anyway, we had kind of a light crowd, but I sat in the balcony and watched the show. There were 300 people in the crowd, but every time, you know, number was over, it sounded like 1,000 people responding, 1,000 people laughing, 1,000 people cheering, 1,000 people applauding. So it was great. The energy in the room was fantastic, despite the fact that the crowd was smaller than we had hoped.
Now, Marion has really been noted for its local theater over the past, quite a few years now. What makes Marion local theater different than other places?
Well, I think it's the people who are in charge, the people that are our traditional directors, Claire Cook, Christy Wink, Emily Yaksik. They are all professionals. They've done professional shows in the past. Emily Yaksik, who does our kids' play and our set stage kids' camp, you know, she was a theater major at Ohio Wesleyan, but she grew up in the theater. She grew up, I think, starting at age 8. She started, you know, doing the community shows here at the Palace. Christy Wink, of course, Claire Cook's daughter, you know, probably started dancing when she was 2 years old. And just the love of the theater, and I think that the core people, I think our directors are so respected that people want to be in the show. And so we get the best people in the community auditioning, and it's cyclical. It's just, you know, it goes around, and it keeps getting better. And we get kids at a young age. We do two kids productions a year. So, you know, starting at 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and then they grow up. And there's a lot of people that are in our chorus now that started as kids, you know, 20 years ago. So it's amazing. It's just, I think we have a good base, and the theater's so great and beautiful, and the community is so supportive that it's just a breeding ground for success.
Now, some of the pictures and videos I saw online, the big dance numbers that feature many members of the cast in costume.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy. Now, seeing that live, what's that like?
It's unbelievable. The energy is just, it just shoots out from the stage, and the audience just shoots it right back to the cast. It's amazing. Every time I see a show here at the Palace, I'm just, you know, my heart is just full of pride and like, oh, that I had anything to do with it. It's like, I just kind of like sign the checks and tell you what date. So artistically, I really haven't had any too much input except for choosing the shows. It's all the people that work for me here at the Palace, but also, you know, the volunteers. You know, everybody's a volunteer. We have 8 people who work at the Palace. They get paid, and everybody else, they do it for the love of theater.
What is the mood of the people who volunteer for these shows? Because with all the rehearsals in the set building and the fitting for costumes, and then doing, I think, what will end up being 5 performances altogether,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's a very, very big commitment for somebody who's volunteering.
Yeah, exactly. And it's because as soon as you start the very first rehearsal, you become a family. And it's not only the love of theater, and you get, you know, you make new friends, and even though it's a lot of work, but it's work that people love to do, you know.
Now, for people who don't know the Will Rogers Follies, is it a show that has a story, or is it more of a variety type of show with big numbers? What is it?
Well, basically, the official title is The Will Rogers Follies, A Life in Review. So it takes you, Will Rogers, who was an American folk hero. He was a national institution in the 20s and 30s. As I said, at that time, he was the most famous person in the world between his movie appearances, his vaudeville, his radio shows, and he wrote, you know, humorous articles for national newspapers and stuff. So it just takes you from age 13 till his death at age 55. You know, his death was almost as famous as you know, his life, because he died in the prime of his life in a plane crash in Alaska. You know, across the nation, flags were at half staff. And there was a commentator who said, not since Abraham Lincoln has the United States mourned the death of an individual. So we're talking, even though we don't really, not a lot of people really remember who he was now, you know, 100 years ago, he was it. He was the bee's knees. So it takes you from age 13 all the way to his death and just all his successes. He started in vaudeville, then he went to Ziegfeld Follies, then he moved to Hollywood. But it involves, you know, his romance with his wife, you know, how they meet at a train station. You know, he had 4 kids there, and, you know, they're in the show. But yeah, I think in their traveling shows, the kids were also in the show. So there's 4 kids that act as his children. It just takes you in through his life of a great American.
You know, we think about somebody like Will Rogers, and as you said, he was super popular a century ago.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think he has faded away? Now, certainly his show here has not, but the name has. What do you chalk that up to?
I just think it's... Well, when they wrote the show 30, 35 years ago, you know, the older generation still remembers him. I just think because he ran for president in 1928 and lost. Had he won, you know, everybody would have known his name. I don't know. It's just he in the age that we're in, where you're streaming everything and there's a thousand things to choose to do, and you know, everybody has their 15 minutes of fame now. So people that were famous 100 years ago, unless they were, you know, a president or Marlene Dietrich or, you know, a huge movie star, you know, their names fade into the past.
Mm. You know, that's an interesting thing, that we seem to be so super highly focused on politicians that the only people we tend to remember from more than 100 years ago are the politicians, when I don't necessarily know that was the case 20 years ago when people weren't so hyper-focused on politics.
Yeah, and that's social media. Social media has really changed the fiber of our existence, I believe.
When we look at the theater last week, a great show like this, great local production, as you say, the first night, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 people, is this becoming a sign of the times that people do stay home and they do have the streaming services? We've talked about this before, but it seems to be happening everywhere with every event.
Yeah, and that's the shame of it, as far as because live theater is so important, and people have so many choices. I saw on television a couple days ago that they're surprised that people are going back to the movie theater, you know, to see the Top Gun, to see the Jurassic Park. They're making record box office. So there is hope that people do want to get out. I think, you know, COVID got us all into a mode where we were watching Netflix and Hulu instead of, you know, going out and enjoying dinner with friends or going to a live show. It's a shame because it's a, you know, in another 50 years, it may be a lost art, live performance. I mean, even, you know, not that many kids play musical instruments anymore. You know, it's just a lot of the arts are fading away, and I think it has to do with, you know, social media and streaming services and so many things for human beings to do these days, you know?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Being the executive director of the Palace, when it's a local production like this, how is it different than somebody coming through on a national tour?
Well, in my 8 months here, I have found that the local productions are the ones that sell themselves. People like to see local people do the shows. You know, we already have, you know, we have Lee Greenwood coming in September. So the big name, he's already sold tons of tickets, you know, as soon as we announced that he was coming. But, you know, it's hit or miss. You know, you don't know what the feeling of the people will be. We try to do a variety of scheduling to please different demographics. But I have found, as I said, that the local productions have been the easiest to sell, just because even if people don't know what it is, they know it's local. We have a good reputation for good local talent, so they kind of sell themselves, which is kind of why I was shocked, because the biggest show of the year is always the Summer Musical. That's where we're kind of shocked that the opening weekend was as slow as it was, but we are hoping that word of mouth We'll cure that, and we'll have a banner second weekend.
Is it becoming harder with how newspapers are set up now to advertise shows like this?
Well, yeah, we actually just met with a gentleman from the Marion Star yesterday, and we were discussing future advertising and future. They're very pro Marion. They want to increase the amount of, like, not even advertising coverage that they give us, but what we're going to start doing this season is, before the show even auditions, they want to do an interview with the director to kind of get the buzz early, to kind of help us do that. I, you know, as we said before, cable news, people probably don't read the Marion Star like they used to. They don't read local newspapers. They don't read newspapers at all in the numbers that they used to. So yeah, it's a challenge. A lot of our advertising is on social media these days because that's where people are.
What is the demographic of the people who come to see a Palace show at this point?
The demographic, I think their general demographic, if you just look over at a year, it's the 60 and over crowd. But those are the people that grew up with you know, the only thing they do on Saturday night is go see a movie or see a live performance somewhere. So they're used to it, and they love it, and they grew up with it. I mean, what we're trying to do, of course, is to attract younger people to the theater because they are the next generation. And but basically right now, 60 and over probably is 60% of our crowd.
Now, I imagine with a local production, obviously a lot of friends and family want to come see people who are in the production.
Uh-huh.
Outside of that, what do you think the drawing power is for and of a local show?
I think our reputation of always doing really good, professionally produced shows, I meet people every show. Oh, you know, we're from Cleveland, but we read about this theater. Saw pictures. We came to see the theater. So I think the theater itself, as beautiful as it is also a draw. We've talked about the history of the Palace many times, but you know. John Epperson was the architect, and at one point he had designed 100 theaters in the U.S. and only 16 remain. You know, Marion, for a relatively small town, and we have this huge theater that seats 1,400 people. It's you know, the only time I've seen it full is when we had Amy Grant. Amy Grant, yeah, last November, and then when we had the Sea Chanters, the U.S. Navy Sea Chanters. Those are the only two times in the past year that I've seen capacity at the theater, but I think our reputation and the theater itself are the two big draws.
You talked about Lee Greenwood. What are some of the other things that are coming up as we round out summer and head into the fall?
Oh, we've got so much coming up. Well, let's start chronologically. What I thought was missing at the theater, it's been years since they've had a stand-up comedian here, any stand-up comedy at all. So we're going to do a series of Saturday Night Spectaculars. The first one will be August 27th. Don't be afraid. The comedians I hired are completely clean and family-friendly. Steve Bruner, a guy I worked with at Royal Caribbean for many, many years. He's just a very, very funny, observational comedy. He's very, very, very Seinfeld-esque. Just clean stuff. He talks, you know, I was saying the other day, the dirtiest things he talks about is maybe a dirty diaper, you know, talking about his family or something. And then we have rock star juggler Mike Price, who I worked with last year when I was the entertainment director at a on-land resort in St. Martin, the island of St. Martin. We had a casino there, and we had a show, so we brought Mike Price in. He was a finalist a couple of years ago on America's Got Talent, but he does a fantastic show. That's August 27th, of course, Lee Greenwood, September 30th. Later on, of course, Christmas at the Palace. We've got a secondary Christmas show, Ernie Hoff and the Signature Sound, they're a vocal quartet, and they're going to do a show, a jazzy little Christmas. Later on in the season, we're doing Moana Jr. is the kids' musical this fall, and then we'll do a kids' show in February called Chasing Charming, which is about a bunch of princesses chasing Prince Charming. The Righteous Brothers will be performing here next May. And another highlight is the musical Nonsense Amen, which is the original Nonsense musical, performed with an all-male cast. So that'll be next March and April. And to close it out this season, next May we have the national tour of the Broadway musical Ain't Misbehavin' coming through. So we have a lot of big things coming up. And not to mention, we have got some tribute bands coming. We've got a group that does ABBA and the Bee Gees. We've got Michael Cavanaugh, who's going to do Elton John, Billy Joel tributes. Hotel California does Eagles tributes. And Simply Queen does a tribute to Freddie Mercury and Queen. That's all coming up this season, so lots going on.
Absolutely. Do want to remind everybody, the Will Rogers Follies will be at the Palace Theater this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 7:30 on Friday and Saturday, Sunday at 2 p.m. Ticket price, $28 and $31. Call the Palace Box Office, 740-383-2101. Kirk, have you learned, since you've been there, in the short time as executive director, are there certain things that play in Marion and certain things that don't?
Yes. I have discovered that. it's all trial and error. It's experimenting. I think they hired me because I had a lot of new ideas, but Bev was here for 10 years as executive director, but she got to the point she knew what worked and she knew what didn't. And so, like, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. I'm just thinking of the next generation, the next generation to keep coming to the Palace in future years. So it is trial and error. Luckily, we're a nonprofit, and we have a tremendous community support, a lot of great benefactors, a lot of great marquee members, because we don't always break even. Our goal is actually, we're nonprofit, but we need to still keep the operation moving. But if we break even in a show, a fire relief floods the building. Of course, we'd like to, make $50,000 every show, but that doesn't always happen.
Bringing a new talent in, or something a little different than what has been there before, is that difficult to get here, or difficult to convince people to go along with that?
Well, yeah, it really depends on what it is. I mean, the first act I booked was Tony Danza, and that did not sell well, simply because everybody knew who Tony Danza was. I think you and I had this conversation before, but they didn't really know what he was going to do, despite the fact that we put video clips of him singing up. And, the number one question was, what does he do? I know who he is. What does he do? They had no idea that he had a background in singing and dancing, and was absolutely, you saw the show. I saw pictures of you backstage with him. I know you were there, Scott. I gave you the ticket.
I was there, absolutely.
But that show was amazing. And the biggest comment as people were leaving is like, it's too bad people missed the show. What a great, great entertainment, 100% from beginning to end entertainment show. But the problem there was, even though, it's a big name, it's like, he's known for his TV appearances, and people just didn't know him as a live entertainer. And it was a shame. But, lesson learned.
In the future, something like that, if you have a big name performer, how do you, people knew who the name was, as you said, but mm-hmm. they didn't know what he did.
Right.
So how do you get that distinction out there that this is who it is, and this is what they do, and this is why you should come see it?
Well, it's called Media Blitz, which you're a part of. I get on the radio with Scott Spears about the greatness of who's coming. Yeah, we try to get it out on social media through our advertisements. Word of mouth, local media plays a very important your radio station along with others as well. We just try to permeate the consciousness of Marion, Ohio. We're also starting to advertise in surrounding communities. Like for Will Rogers, we're advertising in Delaware and Columbus, but we're expanding to like Bucyrus and Tiffin and Findlay, and there's people that go to Columbus. There's Marionites that we go down to the Columbus Theater, the Ohio Theater, the Palace Theater in Columbus all the time. But we need to. There's not a huge population base here in Marion, so we're trying to expand outside of Marion as well.
Do you think that the increase that we have seen in gas prices and the increase we have seen in really food in the grocery stores mm-hmm. is having any impact on what people are doing with their expendable income?
Oh, absolutely. And that, when gas prices went up, I was thinking that might be beneficial to us because local people, instead of going to Cedar Point or going down to Columbus because gas prices are so high, they'll stay in Marion and you show at the Palace Theater. So I'm trying to be optimistic that locally the high gas prices might help us because they don't have to travel as far. But, oh, definitely. And we felt it too. The show business was pretty much, except for, TV and film, was pretty much live performance out of business for a year and a half. And the cost to produce these shows, you know, these companies are trying to make up for a year and a half of having zero income. I will just give you an example. The costumes, there's 500 costumes in the Will Rogers Follies. We had the same costume company out of Kansas City 17 years ago that and Claire wanted to use them again because she loved the costumes then. In 2005, I believe, is the last time we did the show. The costumes, 500 costumes, gorgeous, feathers, wait till you see it, cost $3,500. This year, our costume, well, if you count renting the costumes and then getting them shipped here, getting them shipped back, we're going to end up spending over $25,000 just on the costumes. And that is due to inflation, due to COVID, I think, because it really hurt the entertainment industry. So, they, you know, and the royalties are double of what they were 2 years ago because they're all trying to make up for lost time.
You know, being that this is a show with volunteers, but we hear a number like $25,000 for costumes, mm-hmm. what is the total cost ballpark to put on one show, one
well,
night?
The final budget for this show is $56,000. So that's costumes. That's you know, thank God for people like Joy Watkins, who until recently worked at Lowe's. She got me in with the manager of Lowe's, and they've been incredibly generous. We've got this big set on stage, and Lowe's gave us all the lumber at cost. And that, but that's the kind of community support that we have. We've got a great Mike Andrews, who's a local construction guy. He built it all absolutely for free. So it's like that $56,000 was just for all the nuts and bolts. That was just for the wood. That was for the royalties. That was for the costume rental. That was for the drop rental. I mean, if we had to pay people their wages, they're doing all the volunteers, you know, we'd have to charge $100. That's why Broadway tickets are $100 up, because they have to, everybody, you know, is union and everybody gets paid top dollar. We survive because we have volunteers.
You know, it's very interesting. That aspect of a local performance or any performance is fascinating. The set builders, where the lumber comes from, the people who work the concession stands, the ushers who show up for these shows. Do these people usually just come in and volunteer, or do they have to be recruited?
Well, you know, Claire's been doing shows here for 45 years. So she has her regular team, and she is so beloved in the community that people want to work for her. And so she's got her regular team. Yeah, we're always recruiting, and once they're in, they're family, and they want to come back because the atmosphere here is so great. And it's just very fulfilling, you know, to put on a show and feel satisfied with it.
With the fair and all the festivals going on and trips to Cedar Point and kids being out of school, does that have some impact on shows that go on in the summer?
Yeah, we were talking the other day that our opening night, you know, competed with the last night of the fair, so that might have taken a few people out, but I figure that hopefully the people that went to the Demolition Derby will come the second weekend here. We have to look at the calendar. And there are certain dates that we avoid. Like, we found out that we really can't do anything when all the high schools are doing their graduations. Because, you know, everybody, if they don't have a kid or a grandkid graduating, they know somebody who invited them to a party. So, like, that whole couple of weeks where high school graduations were going on, we kind of had low participation here. So, yeah, it's, you know, we have to look at the calendar in general. And, you know, try to compete with nothing else going on.
Basically. Yeah, yeah. Well, and you know, we talked last time you were on about Tony Danza being on, I think, against one or two of the proms that were going on.
The proms, but also it was the same night that Trump did a rally down in Delaware.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and which he didn't announce until like 2 days before. He didn't announce it. You know, I hired him 6 months ahead of time. But, yeah. So, yeah, you never know.
Yeah, one of those things. Now, how are the movie showings doing at the Palace?
Well, we just had Top Gun, and we did great. We did fantastic. We have three movie weekends coming up after the musical closes, and I can't make any promises, but the three movies that we want, we go through this guy in Michigan who's a movie retailer, or he's kind of the agent for the different studios and stuff, and he books movies for different movie theaters. There are absolutely no promises, and I don't know what order these movies will be in, but the three movies we have put in for are Elvis, the new Jurassic World Dominion movie, Jurassic Park movie, and Minions. So those, hopefully, end of July, early August. We found that popular movies and family movies work best. The big mistake we made earlier in the season, one of the first movies I booked was The Power of the Dog. Now, if you remember that movie, it was up for 12 Oscars, and I'm like, okay, you know, everybody's going to come see this because it's not showing at the mall. And we had, I think, five performances or showings of it, and we had 16 people show up. So we're like, okay, we can't get too arty.
Well, you know, there's an interesting trend going on. Top Gun, Jurassic Park, movie about Elvis doing very well. What do you think it is all of a sudden about nostalgia that is bringing people to the movie theaters?
You know what I think a lot of it is people have been watching on their TV screen for the last 2 years, and they miss the big movies on a big screen. So, I mean, even though, let's say, Top Gun was playing at the mall simultaneous with us, I mean, one of my employees gone opening night to see Top Gun at the mall, he said there were only 10 people there. But a month later, we had it here, and we got 600 people. And I think it's because a big movie like that, people want to see on the big screen. I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah, that's it's
what your question was.
Yeah, no, it's
I think that was part of it.
Yeah, the nostalgia of
oh, the nostalgia. Yeah. Well, that always sells. You know, Elvis. I was waiting for somebody to do a good movie about Elvis's life. So
having Tom Hanks doesn't hurt.
No, not at all.
No,
and apparently the guy who plays Elvis is brilliant. So.
That's what they say. Now, again, I do want to let people know, 52 minutes past the hour, we're chatting with Kirk Detweiler, the executive director of the Marion Palace Theater, and the Will Rogers Follies, the summer musical, will be at the Marion Palace Theater this Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m., Sunday at 2 p.m. Ticket prices are $31 and $28. If you'd like a ticket, call the box office, 740-383-2101. That's 740-383-2101. For the audience listening, Kirk, why should they come see this show? What is the hook?
Well, if they like Goosebumps, there are 10 moments in the show that just amaze you, and you'll get goosebumps like, oh my God, this is happening in Marion, Ohio. I think you're in Broadway. So there are laughs, and the ending will actually bring you to tears. So I just think, just for the entertainment value and what you get emotionally out of the show, is worth the price of a ticket.
What's your favorite part of the show?
My favorite part is towards the beginning of Act Two, when Will Rogers is running for president, and they do the number called Our Favorite Son, and it's just a lot of... The choreography is just so intricate and so fast that you just sit there and you're just like, oh my God, how are all these people doing this all at exactly the same time? If you go to my Facebook page, I posted like a 20-second tidbit of that number. That's my favorite part.
Singing versus performance, acting in this show, what would you say the balance is?
This is one show where all three of them are very, very important, because the dancing is phenomenal, but the songs are also, it was written by Broadway, veterans Comden and Green, who've done a lot of great musicals in the past. I think this was one of their last. I know they both have passed away. The music is fantastic, but you also have to act. I got to hand it to Tanner Wink. Tanner Wink is 22 years old. He just graduated from college. And he has to play Will Rogers, a guy he'd never heard of. Well, the only reason he heard of it is because his mother was in the Broadway show. But, you know, never affected his life in any way otherwise. He's got to play him from age 13 all the way to 55. And the maturity that he displays, and knowing Tanner since he was like a baby, and just seeing him grow into this, you know, really professional performer, is amazing. And he is, of course, he's Will Rogers. He's the glue that keeps the whole show together, and he just does an amazing job. But he's got a fantastic supporting cast. Maddie Shank plays Betty Blake, who is his girlfriend and turns into his wife. Man, what a voice that girl has. She's a local girl. I actually met her when she was probably 6 years old in Christmas at the Palace, and I remember her singing a duet with her father. This is probably, well, she's probably 20, 22 years old now, so this must have been 15 years ago. And I'm like, oh my, that little girl got a great voice, but she's grown up to be quite a professional performer. Mm. Dustin Rollins plays Clem Rogers, the father of Will Rogers. That part was played by Mickey Rooney on Broadway, by the way. Not the original one, but he did end up playing that. And Morgan Schwartz, she plays what's called Zigville's favorite. She's kind of the MC of the show. And it's funny because she's my administrative assistant here at the Palace. She's another one who's done Palace shows since she was a kid. And then she got a job here because she loves the Palace so much. But, you know, she's, if you saw Clue, she played Miss Scarlet. So she plays Ziegfeld's favorite, but she kind of keeps the show moving. She plays 17 different parts, but she's kind of the MC of the show, and she's got an amazing singing voice as well. So we're just blessed with just some incredible people in the show.
It sounds like it—a great local performance by great local people. Will Rogers Follies at the Marion Palace Theater this Friday and Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Sunday at 2 p.m. Ticket price $28.31. Call the box office, 740-383-2101. Kirk, thanks so much for calling in, and hope you have a great, great weekend.
Well, thank you so much, and we'll see you just at the show this weekend.
And thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Kirk Detweiler, the executive director of the Marion Palace Theater, and over the course of the rest of this week, we will have 8 tickets to give away for the Sunday performance, the Sunday at 2 p.m. performance of the Will Rogers Follies at the Marion Palace Theater. So 8 ticket giveaways for the Sunday 2 p.m. performance of the Will Rogers Follies at the Marion Palace Theater. And they will give those away over the course of the week. Sounds like a great show. Does anybody have anything to say? Did anybody go to the show last weekend or have any feedback at this point? 57 minutes past the hour, 76 degrees, sunny skies here in Marion. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Well, I tell you, I was hearing some rumblings that after the holiday weekend, and the fair, and who knows, for whatever reason, summer, I guess, that the, I'm starting to hear again that people are getting COVID. Luckily, it doesn't seem to be as bad. The symptoms don't seem to be as bad as what they were in the beginning. But, boy, we hope people get feeling better soon and get through this little uptick, I guess, we're having in COVID. And I don't have the exact numbers on it. I just know that a lot of people haven't been feeling very well the last week or so. And, who knows the reason? You know, the fair goes on. People go to Red, White, and Boom in Columbus. Fireworks shows all over the place. And transmittable illnesses, I guess, just go that way, unfortunately. 59 minutes past the hour, and again, we do want to remind everybody the Will Rogers Follies will be at the Marion Palace Theater this Friday and Saturday, 7:30 p.m., Sunday at 2 p.m. Ticket price, $28 and $31, but there are $50 seats available. I think they're patron seats. Call the box office, 740-383-2101. That's 740-383-2101. The guest this hour was Kirk Detweiler, the executive director of the Marion Palace Theater. And do want to remind everybody again that we will have 8 tickets to give away to the Will Rogers Follies Sunday show, the 2 p.m. Sunday show, as the week progresses here on WWGH Radio. We're going to take a break. Be back in 15 minutes. Don't you dare flip that dial.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From legendary comedian Abe Vigoda.
Can you still recite Shakespeare?
Yes. Methinks I am a prophet, you inspired, and thus aspiring to foretell of him. His rash, fierce, blaze of riot cannot last, for violent fires soon burn out themselves. Like vanity, insatiate cormorant, consuming means soon preys upon the soul. And go on, this royal throne of kings, this sceptred isle, this earth